day this week coming up. So we'll be very excited for that. That'll feel like summertime again. Turn down just a little bit, I think. Okay. Well, it's good to see everybody here. As Ron said, we're 7 days into the new year. So happy New Year again. And today is the first sermon in 2018. And what we want to do is we want to start off this year discussing our vision in the church. Are you where you want to be? Are there areas where you can grow? What should we be doing? Are you growing in your faith, or are you falling behind? Are we as a church growing leaders and servants and people who want to see God's kingdom grow? Or do we fall into the trap sometimes of becoming churchgoers? I'll be honest with you this morning. This sermon will probably step on my toes and might step on your toes as well, but that's good for us sometimes as we consider where we are. Where are we going as God's people? You know, as Christians, we know we're bound for heaven, and we should be thankful for that and praise God for that every day. But while we're here, what are our priorities? What are we doing? Several years ago in London, England, the Mass Transit Authority was... I just got louder, didn't I? Okay, so several years ago in London, England, the Mass Transit Authority was getting all kinds of complaints about the bus system. Apparently, when the bus drivers would come up to the bus stops, there'd be people standing out there waiting to get on the bus, but they'd just blow right by. And they kept doing this over and over. They'd just blow right by the passengers waiting to get on the bus. So much that people began to complain, and they wrote complaints, and they called and complained that they were just getting passed up at the bus stop. So the Mass Transit Authority put out a statement, and the statement is pretty incredible. Here's what they said. It is impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we're always having to stop and pick people up. Now think about that. That's a bus company, right? That's a transit authority. It's impossible for us to maintain our schedules if we constantly have to stop and pick people up. They had their priorities confused. They thought their job was to keep a schedule, but their job was really to do what? To transport people, right? Pick them up and take them to their destination. But because they had their priorities confused, they missed the very reason for which they were created. They missed what they were created to do. A question for us, a question for you. What were you created to do? What did God have in mind when he saved you? Think about that. Charlie just read for us Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God had something in mind for you to do when he saved you. Think about that. He has a plan, a purpose, what he wants you to do. What did he save you to do? You know, sometimes we fall into the trap of believing that maybe our purpose in the kingdom is to come and come to church or sit in a pew. And sometimes, I know in my own life, when I've thought that, I've kind of gotten comfortable in that and maybe satisfied in doing that, and so much that maybe we don't have any intention of doing anything more. But God has so much more planned for our lives than that. He has so many more blessings he wants to give us in this life. But it's impossible for us sometimes to confuse our priorities. There are tasks that need done. And it's up to us to do them, church. There's people that need help. There's service that needs to be accomplished. And God has given us that task. Now, the bus schedule was very important to the transit authority. Coming to church is very important for us. We need to be here. We should want to be here. And we do love to be here, right? To encourage each other, to see each other, to lift each other up. But that was not the reason we were created. That is not our top priority. Our priority is to serve Jesus so that other people can come to know him. Amen? That's what we were put here to do. So the first question this morning, the second question, are you available or are you too busy? Yeah, I can appreciate this, because many times I've said, I'm too busy. And when we get too busy, we get burned out, don't we? Y'all ever been there? You ever been burned out? I've been there. We got to guard against that. That's a bad place to be. But if you're busy, Ask yourself this question. What are you busy doing? What am I busy doing? A lot of times when we have a new opportunity that comes in front of us, or we see something that maybe needs to be done, we'll respond with the phrase, I'm just too busy. It's a quote I read. God never goes to the idle when he needs men for his service. When he has work to be done, he goes to those who are already at work. When God wants a great servant, he calls a busy person. And Scripture will prove this, church. Think about the people God called. Moses was busy with his flock, wasn't he? We see that Gideon was busy threshing wheat. Saul was busy looking for his father's lost donkeys. David was busy caring for sheep. Elisha was busy plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. Nehemiah was busy being the king's cupbearer. Amos was busy following the flock. Matthew was busy collecting taxes. We love that, right? And James, Peter, Andrew, John, they were busy fishing. They were mending nets. Why would God do that? Why would God pick on the busy people? We all know this to be true. When you need something done, you want to go to somebody who knows how to get stuff done, right? When you need something, when you have something that needs to be accomplished, you want to find someone who's been shown to be responsible. You ever worked in an office and you've done more than what's required of you? What happens? You get more work, right? You don't necessarily get more money, but you get more work because the boss knows, hey, Tina can get stuff done, right? That's how it works. An old farmer once said that when he needed some extra hands around the farm, he hated to go down to the town square where the boys were hanging out. He said, those boys are down there for a reason. They don't know how to work. He'd rather get the sons and daughters of other farmers who'd grown up working, and they knew how to be responsible. God is looking for responsible workers. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 16:10, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. You see, that's the pattern of how God chooses and trains these people. Given a little responsibility, see how it's handled, and increase that with faithfulness and abilities. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, talking about the disciples. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, if we just read the Gospel of Matthew here, we would think that maybe this was the first time Jesus had encountered these guys. But if you look at John, at least with respect to Andrew and Peter, we know there had been a prior encounter. Jesus had seen them before. In John chapter 1, verses 35 through 42. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard that John, who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Why do we look at this? Well, you see, I don't believe Jesus just picked 12 men and suddenly put them to work as disciples. In fact, at least with Peter and Andrew, we know that this was probably a little more gradual. He met with them, he called them, he prayed with them, he worked with them for 3 years. And he gave them more and more responsibility and more opportunities until at last, at Pentecost, he allowed them to lead and take care of his most prized possession. You know what that is? The church. You see, That's how God works. We've heard the quote behind me here. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Well, maybe the next slide. I guess we're behind a little bit. God does not begin by asking us about our ability, but only about our availability. And if we then prove our dependability, He will increase our capability. God doesn't look at your ability. He looks for your availability. And if you're available, if you and I will make our lives available to God, God can and will do great things through us for His glory. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. We need to believe that. In 2018, more than ever, let us realize our purpose, our goal is not to just come and sit in a pew, but our purpose is to fulfill God's goal in our lives by serving Jesus. If you want to serve, first of all, are you available? And second of all, what are you available to do? You know, we have a lot of people who serve a lot of ways here. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. We don't have a choir, but you hear that phrase a lot. This is a busy group of people doing a lot in this community for God's kingdom. But we can always grow on that. And we can always rededicate, resolve in 2018 to do more, to make a big impact in this community. Not so that people say, boy, those people are great. But so people can say, our God is great. And we now know Jesus as our Savior. That's the goal, church. So our community knows that. The world knows that. Are you available? And what are you available to do? We never know what God can do in our lives until we say, I'm going to be available. And I'm going to wait to be used by Him. Story about a man named Walter. Walter was a man who had a routine. I love routines. It's a sickness. Walter had a routine. For 3 years, every Sunday morning, a little bit before 10 o'clock, Walter would open the doors to the Epworth Church, and he would prepare it for worship. If the weather was cold outside, Walter would throw a log on the fire and build a fire. If it was hot that day, he would put paper fans out on the pews. And then at 10 o'clock, he would come to the podium, and he would open the Bible, and he'd read the selected scripture for that day. And then he would pray. And he would offer prayer for members of the community that he knew was suffering. He would talk about current events in the news and pray for the world leaders. And every day he would end that prayer asking God to bless the church at Epworth. Walter had a routine. But something that makes this very unique is that for 3 years, Walter would start the service and end the service alone. Only one there. Why would he do that? Well, you see, many years ago, this church building at Epworth, was built on land that a farmer had given to the church, with a stipulation that if the church ever ceased to stop meeting regularly, the land would revert to the family. So if the doors closed, that'd be it. Church would be gone. And you might be saying, what's the big deal? If Walter's the only one who bothered to show up, why not just go somewhere else or do something else or let the thing quietly go away? What harm would it do? But you see, Walter was convinced that God had a plan. And he believed it was his job to be patient and to wait. So that's what he did. He waited. Y'all like to wait? Tom Petty said it best, the waiting is the hardest part, right? And it's hard to wait. You know, sometimes in my life, I get the word wait kind of changed around with the word waste, right? Y'all do that? If you don't think that you think of wait and waste as the same thing, think about the amount of time you spend in line at Walmart. Do you feel like that's time you're wasting? How about on the road when traffic gets backed up and you're at a standstill? Do you feel like that's time you're wasting? Or when you're waiting for the DMV to call your letter and number, which I always seem to get at the bottom of the heap there. We confuse or sometimes interchange, not confuse, but we sometimes interchange the word wait with the word waste. We buy expensive computer systems just so we don't have to do what? Wait, right? Y'all remember dial-up internet? We were more patient when we had dial-up internet, right? Because we had to wait. You teenagers won't remember that, but it used to exist. So according to our definition of wait, Walter was wasting 3 years at the church at Epworth. Walter waited. I probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't have either. We'd have moved on. But we'd have missed something big God was going to do. Every Sunday, Walter opened the doors all alone. But Walter believed that God had a purpose, and he wanted to be patient and wait. You know, we think of wait being the same thing as waste a lot of times, but if you look at the biblical idea of wait, it comes more along the lines of waiting for an honored guest to come over to your house. If you guys are having somebody that you honor or somebody that you really look up to over to your house, do you just sit around on the couch and wait for them to knock on the door? No. You clean the house, right? You decorate the house. You put a roast in the oven, right? You make sure everything's just right. You take a shower. You put on some nice clothes. You get things ready. You see, waiting, the biblical view of waiting, is not just idly sitting by in a church pew. But it is waiting with anticipation and preparation. That's what God has called us to do. Waiting on God is an eventful time with preparation and great anticipation. Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Isaiah 40, 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Hebrews 9, 28, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of men. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Waiting is a sign of faith, and faith in Christ, who's the source of our salvation, church. Waiting on God is important. But it's not just idle time where we do nothing, but we anticipate and we prepare. One Sunday morning, a young family who just moved to the town came and worshiped with Walter. And they came back the next week. And they came back the next week. Until finally the kids were bringing their friends and the adults invited their friends. And they had the need then for a Bible class. And about a year later, a full-time minister was hired at this church. Many years after that, Walter died. A lot of those people died or moved on. But today, Epworth, the church at Epworth, is a thriving congregation with a huge vacation Bible school that meets a lot of needs in the community. They're known for a big Christmas play every year that their youth group puts on. And even though a lot of the original people during Walter's time are now gone, on the first Sunday of August, people from all over America come to a homecoming where they relive and remember the example of the old man who refused to let the doors to that church close. They have a picnic on the church grounds, and you may notice people wandering over to the graveyard, and you might hear a parent say to her child, let me tell you the story about a man named Walter. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I'm sure for that three-year period, there are many times Walter thought, there's no use to what I'm doing. Maybe I'll just move on. You ever felt like that in some service you've done in life? Maybe in the kingdom? No one cares. Am I really making a difference? God's word promises us, church, that our work for the Lord is never in vain. That's a comfort, isn't it? I do a lot of stuff that's in vain, right? We put so much importance on stuff that isn't going to matter tomorrow. Certainly won't matter 10 years from now. Where are our priorities? Are we available? Are you available? Our service to God is never in vain. God will do so much with your life, with my life, when we allow it, when we make ourselves available, and when we wait for God's direction while getting ready, preparation, and anticipating what he's going to do. But availability starts now. We have such a tremendous opportunity as we kick off 2018 with the Good News Club. We're going to have training this afternoon, and if you've planned to stay, great. If you haven't planned to stay, change your plans if you can. Be here. Get trained. As we've talked about, this doesn't mean that next week you're committed to do this from now on, because it's going to be a while before this thing's up and running, but you got to get the training. And this is just a tremendous opportunity to reach kids. Kids who otherwise have no hope, church. Kids who don't know anything about God. We have the opportunity to be in front of them and teach them about God, to show them His love. And if that's not the purpose of the church, I don't know what is. Will you be available in 2018? Becoming available starts with becoming a child of God. Are you a Christian? If not, start 2018 saved. Start 2018 with not just your home here in Nevada, but a home in heaven forever. Come to Jesus. Confess Him as Lord and Savior. Repent of your sins. Be baptized where your sins are washed away. You receive the gift of God's Spirit that dwells in you. This gift that helps you when no one else can, in ways no one else could ever. The Spirit that will direct you, teach you, comfort you. There's nothing better, church. If there's anyone here this morning who has a need, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.